Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 17 July, 2025, 2 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 John. 2 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 John, verse 9, corrected translation, sounds like this. Anyone who proagos, one of the favorite words of the Gnostics in John's day. Anyone who proagos, runs ahead, out of bounds in Satan's cosmic system, and does not meno, another one of John's favorite words, does not remain on the playing field through the doctrine of Christ, absolutely does not have fellowship with God. The one who remains on the playing field, through the playing field is the spiritual life God has for us in the church age. The one who remains on the playing field through the doctrine, sound doctrine, taught by faithful pastors, this one, this believer, has fellowship with both the Father and the Son. Now, we use the illustration of a football game. You can't score a touchdown by running out of bounds with the football in a football game. And the spiritual life of the church age has specific rules and specific boundaries. And those specific rules and boundaries are given in the divine mandates of the Word of God. Mandate number one, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16. Keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 5:16. Walk by the agency of the Spirit, and then you will not fulfill the lust patterns of the sin nature. And then mandate number two, 2 Peter 3:18, a mandate to grow up spiritually in the grace, grace orientation, and in the knowledge, doctrinal orientation, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through the baptism of the Spirit at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the believer has a personal relationship with the living and true God. We are in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. But after salvation, if we run out of bounds, outside of the spiritual life, and live in Satan's cosmic system, well, we have no fellowship with God. We have no filling of the Spirit. There is no spiritual momentum in your life. There is no spiritual growth. You will never achieve the objective of spiritual maturity. And you will never accomplish the ultimate objective. No virtual love brought to completion in your heart. Because the plan of God and the unique spiritual life of the church age also has boundaries and has specific rules, just like there are boundaries and rules in a football game. And then we exegeted part of verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not teach this doctrine, the sound doctrines of Christ, do not receive him into your local church. Now you say, it says house. Well, yeah. Oikia is literally a house. But at this time in the ancient world, most of the churches were house churches. They met in houses. And so this is the local church. Do not receive him into your local church. That phrase is the present active imperative of the verb lambano with the negative me, plus the accusative singular of the intensive pronoun autos, plus the prepositional phrase eis, plus the accusative singular of oikia. And lambano means to receive. The imperative of lambano with the negative me is a very strong negative command. It is a prohibition for all of us as royal family. This is a very strong prohibition that establishes policy for the local church. This establishes policy for the local church. The intensive pronoun autos is used for the third person personal pronoun. It's correctly translated him. Who is him? You say, no, it should be, who is he? Very good, you English majors. Who is him? Him is the false teacher, the anti-Christ believer. And then we have ace plus the accusative singular of oikia. And ace looks like that in the Greek and in the English, and oikia, O-I-K-I-A. And yes, literally, oikia is a house. But here it is the local church, because the churches in the ancient world met, many of them, in houses, house church. This is the house church. So eis plus oikia, into your local church. In the early church, local churches met in houses. They met in homes. The church in Laodicea met in Nympha's home. We studied that. The local church must be protected from the infiltration of false doctrine. And the local church must always be a private assembly. Therefore, the local church has the right to throw out false teachers, antichrist believers. Throw them out. And I've even been in Baraka and the colonel threw out people out of the congregation. Got them out. And he did it again and again and again. And that, why does the pastor, why does a faithful pastor do that? To protect the congregation. To protect the congregation. My job is to protect the congregation from false doctrine, false principles, false teachers. And anytime anyone with false concepts comes in here and leads others astray, they're gone. They are gone. My job is to protect the congregation, and that's what we have here. John had a fellow in his church named Cerinthus who was teaching everybody in the congregation. He was having them over to his house and fellowshipping and all those things and communicating false doctrine of Gnosticism. And he was leading many believers astray in the Apostle John's church in Ephesus. And the Apostle John said, Cerinthus, you're out of here. Get out of here. Because John's responsibility was to protect the congregation in Ephesus. So he threw Cerinthus out of the church. And any faithful pastor to protect his congregation must do that. So the early church, local churches met in homes. The church in Laodicea met in Nympha's home. The local church must be protected from the infiltration of false doctrine. The local church must always be a private assembly, and therefore the local church has the right to throw out or to refuse to entry to those who infiltrate for false purposes, such as the Gnostics in Apostle John's day. So here's a principle, and make sure you get this principle down. The local church should be protecting the congregation, not looking for ways to enlarge the congregation. The local church should be protecting the congregation, not looking for ways to enlarge the congregation. So ace plus oikia is correctly translated, into your local church. Do not receive him into your local church. If anyone comes to you and does not teach this doctrine, do not receive him into your local church. And many passages teach about these house churches, Romans 16, 3 through 5, Philemon 1 and 2, Colossians 4, 15, 2 John verse 10, all of these passages teach about these house churches. So if anyone comes to you and does not teach this doctrine, sound doctrine, do not receive him into your local church. Now, specifically, the Apostle John is referring to the Gnostics and Cerinthus, who was in his church in Ephesus and teaching the false doctrines of Gnosticism. John's epistles are actually polemics against Gnosticism. The Gnostics rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the hypostatic union of our Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the impeccability and sinless perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the salvation work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. They rejected the doctrines of redemption, reconciliation, and propitiation. They rejected his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father. Cerinthus and the Gnostics denied all of these doctrines, and they tried to syncretize Greek philosophy with Christian doctrine. And therefore, the Apostle John dogmatically teaches that the local church must be protected from the infiltration of false teachers and their false doctrines. The local church has the right to throw out those who infiltrate a local church for false purposes. If anyone comes to you and does not teach this doctrine, sound doctrine, do not receive him into your local church. And then we had the phrase, we just don't use, none of you have said to me, Godspeed, but we have it here a couple of times. Neither bid him Godspeed. None of you have ever bid me Godspeed. Neither bid him Godspeed. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active imperative of lego with the negative may plus the present active infinitive of chiro. Now those two verbs together, very important. The present active imperative of lego with the negative may combined with the present active infinitive of chiro. Lego chiro, remember that, lego chiro. The dative singular of autos. The conjunction chi is the connective chi, and correctly translated an. And then lego, the first verb of this duo. L-E-G, long O, lego. And, well, a couple of things here. Point one, literally, lego, means to utter in words, it means to say, it means to tell, it means to give expression to orally, that's literally. Point two, however, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 270, tells us that sometimes lego is used of special forms of saying, as in our verse. In other words, Arndt and Gingrich goes on to say, point three, when lego is used with the verb chiro. When lego is used with chiro. So we got lego and we got chiro. Lego and Cairo, C-H-A-I-R-O. And that's what we have, Lego and Cairo. When Lego is used with the verb Cairo, as in our verse, then it means to extend a greeting to someone. To extend a greeting to someone. And then point four, when Lego is in the imperative mood with the negative may, which is, we have in our verse, then it is correctly translated, never welcome him. That's literally exactly what this says. Never welcome him. So lego chiro, and then with the negative may, never welcome him into your local church. Never! If anyone comes to you and does not teach this doctrine, sound doctrine of the God-breathed scriptures, do not receive him into your local church and never welcome him. See, notice there's no Godspeed here. Neither bid him Godspeed. See, we have never welcome him. But he doesn't stop there. He continues on in verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed, we have the postpositive conjunction gar with the articular present active participle of lego, once again with the present active infinitive of chiro repeated. So we have lego chiro repeated now, plus the dative singular of autos. The postpositive conjunction gar is the illative use of gar, and the illative use introduces a reason, and is correctly translated for. The articular participle of lego is substantival, functions as a noun, and is correctly translated for the one who lego kairos. For the one who, substantival, for the one who legos kairos. And once again, lego plus kairo is an idiom that means for the one who welcomes him, for the one who welcomes him, autos is him. That's the false teacher promoting false doctrine, the infiltrator. For the one who welcomes him is partaker of his evil deeds. See, my job is to protect the congregation. And I don't want to be cursed by association with evil people. And I don't want this congregation to be cursed by association with evil people. And so when times come, out they go. For the one who welcomes him is a partaker of his evil deeds. This is the present active indicative of koinoneo plus the genitive singular of autos, plus the dative plural of ergon with the definite article, plus the dative plural of poneros with the definite article. Well, we start out with koinoneo. Looks like that in the Greek, koinoneo. Koinoneo. Okay, a few things on this verb. Literally, point one, literally it means to share or to have a share. Two, figuratively, koinoneo means to participate, in this case, in the deeds of others. To participate in the deeds of others, to be equally responsible for them. To participate in the deeds of others, to be equally responsible for them. Three, the intensive pronoun autos tells us who the others are. Autos literally means him. That's the infiltrators, the false teachers promoting false doctrine. Autos is him, the infiltrators, the false teachers promoting false doctrine. Four, you participate in his, and we have poneros ergois. When you do that, you participate in his poneros ergois. P-O-N-E. Long E-R-O-I-S, dative plural, plus E-R-G-O-I-S, dative plural, ponera rois ergois. Evil deeds. You participate in his evil deeds. Now, this is the dative of poneros. Poneros means evil, bad, base, worthless, vicious, degenerate. Kind of get the idea? Poneros means evil, bad, base, worthless, vicious, degenerate. Six, ergon is the word for works, deeds, actions. Seven, the dative case is the dative of disadvantage. The dative of disadvantage. In other words, this is cursing by association. Cursing by association. For the one who welcomes him participates in his evil deeds. So verses 10 and 11, this is pretty powerful. But you see, John has seen this happen in his local church in Ephesus by Cerinthus and the Gnostics. If anyone comes to you and does not teach this doctrine, sound doctrine, do not receive him into your local church and never welcome him. For the one who welcomes him participates in his evil deeds. One. God ordained the local church to be the classroom for worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and getting sound doctrinal teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. God ordained the local church. There's a lot of organizations out there thinking that they're going to take the place of the local church, like Campus Crusade for Christ. And I was involved in Campus Crusade for Christ at Washington State University. They came to WSU, and there was only one church that was a sound doctrinal church, and that was Bethany Bible Church. And they came in and met with Pastor Breckel, and Pastor Breckel told the leaders, sit down. I want you to understand right now, you are not a local church. God has ordained the local church to be the classroom for the teaching of the Word of God. You are not a local church. You will never replace a local church. Campus Crusade won't, Navigators won't, none of those groups. They are not God's ordained classroom. God's ordained classroom is the local church. So he said, you're not a local church. Now here, if you want to be an evangelistic arm of the local church, that's fine. But you need to assemble and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Each one of you need to be in a local church, learning and believing Bible doctrine, going from gnosis to epinosis, completed and full knowledge in your heart. And then you're welcome to be here. And they said, yes, sir. They yes, sir, you're the pastor. Absolutely. And all that, the members of staff of Campus Crusade for Christ, they all came to Bethany Bible Church. And they grew up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then went out. And Washington State University was revolutionized. It was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. That campus and that city was turned upside down for Christ. And Upland Bible Church, well, there were very few adults in the church. And at that time, initially, very few of anybody in the church. And then, boom! The main auditorium filled up with college students who believed in Jesus Christ. Filled up with college students. So they tore down a wall, put in a side room, and that filled up with college students. So then they built a balcony. That filled up with college students. That church was filled with college students who had believed in Jesus Christ, and they were growing up now in the grace and knowledge of Christ. It was absolutely fantastic. And that's one of the reasons many of those men, some of those men on Campus Crusade for Christ, realized they had the gift of pastor-teacher, and they went on to Dallas Theological Seminary. A lot of the people that they gave the gospel to and they started assembling in Upland Bible Church, they realized they had the gift of pastor-teacher, and they went on to Dallas Theological Seminary and prepared for the ministry. And Pastor Theme, Colonel Theme, recognized that what was going on, ever, all these men coming in from being trained at Dallas Seminary, but growing up in the local church, Bethany Bible Church in Pullman, Washington, all of them. And he kept ordaining them and ordaining them and ordaining them more and more and more. And that's when he set me aside and said, Dick, I want you to go back and tell Pastor Breckle, Ron Breckle, he's doing the best job of any pastor in this nation. Well, I knew that, but Ron didn't know that. Well, I did. And that was a spiritual revival. You know what? It's what we need in this country today. It's what we need in America today. We're a nation in apostasy and degeneracy, and we're still here, so there's hope. I pray for our nation. I love our nation. I love America. I love what that flag stands for. I love for the freedoms that were purchased for us on battlefields all over the world so we could assemble in freedom and worship Jesus Christ. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray for our nation every single day. I pray for the grace gospel given all over America that many sons might be brought into glory. And I pray that God will work in the hearts of Christians, because as goes the believer, so goes the client nation of God. It's easy for us to point our fingers at the unbelievers and liberal jackasses out there and say they're the problem, but they're not. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation of God. And most believers are living in Satan's cosmic system. And I pray that God will do whatever it takes to work in their heart so they see that they're living in Satan's cosmic system, that they rebound, get back into fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, the spiritual life. And then I pray that they will seek out a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ so that the pivot enlarges. Because if the pivot doesn't enlarge, we're toast. But if the pivot enlarges, God will deliver us from the fifth cycle of discipline. We're that close to the fifth cycle of discipline right now. But if the pivot increases, we will be delivered from the fifth cycle of discipline. So God ordained the local church to be the classroom for worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and getting sound doctrinal teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. Two, association with false teachers and false doctrine results in divine discipline. Association with false teachers and false doctrine results in divine discipline. Three, this is cursing by association. Cursing by association. Four, this demands physical separation. This demands physical separation. Five, physical separation is no good unless it's preceded by mental separation. Mental separation. Six. And that means you need to operate with impersonal love for all, which means Your separation will be without any mental attitude sins, without any sins of the tongue. You must switch to impersonal love for all, which means your separation will be without any mental attitude sins, without any sins of the tongue. 7. Impersonal love for all must precede physical separation so as to avoid any sinful function in separating. Impersonal love for all must precede physical separation so as to avoid any sinful function in separating. Eight, any sinful function in separating will result in you becoming involved in Satan's cosmic system. Any sinful function in separating will result in you becoming involved in Satan's cosmic system. So 9, verse 11 says, when you welcome him, the false teachers with false doctrine, in effect, you're joining Satan's church. In effect, you're joining Satan's church. When you welcome him, the false teachers with false doctrine, in effect, you're joining Satan's church. 10. This verse puts the spotlight on the point of doctrine that failure to separate results in being led into Satan's cosmic system. This verse puts the spotlight on the point of doctrine that failure to separate results in being led into Satan's cosmic system. Eleven, cursing by association and guilt by association is the inevitable result of becoming intimate with those who are involved in false doctrine. Cursing by association and guilt by association is the inevitable result of becoming intimate with those who are involved in false doctrine. So this is very powerful in verses 10 and 11. If anyone comes to you and does not teach this doctrine, sound doctrine, do not receive him into your local church and never welcome him. For the one who welcomes him participates in his evil deeds. All right, take a look at this again. 1. Association with believers living in Satan's cosmic system results in becoming involved in Satan's cosmic system. Association with believers living in Satan's cosmic system results in becoming involved in Satan's cosmic system. 2. You come under cursing by association and guilt by association. You come under cursing by association and guilt by association. 3. Once you have compromised your life By living in the cosmic system, you have made yourself a church age antichrist believer, 1 John 2:18. You have made yourself the enemy of God, James 4:4, which says, you adulteresses, spiritual adultery, do you not know that friendship with the cosmos, Satan's cosmic system, is hatred toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the cosmos makes himself an enemy of God. And you do this, you make yourself the enemy of God. And you make yourself the enemy of the cross of Christ. And that broke the Apostle Paul's heart. Philippians 3:18 and 19. For as I have often told you before, and now teach you again, even with tears. And that's amazing, because the Apostle Paul was a man's man. And yet it broke his heart. Now I say again, even with tears, many believers now live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, the sin unto death. Their God is their emotions. And their glory is to their shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Their mind, their thinking is on earthly things. They're preoccupied with earthly things. That's interlocking systems of arrogance right there, Satan's cosmic system. So once you have compromised your life by living in the cosmic system, you have made yourself a church age antichrist. 1 John 2:18, enemy of God, James 4:4, enemy of the cross of Christ, Philippians 3:18 and 19. 4, you make yourself a born-again servant of Satan. You make yourself a born-again servant of Satan. Five. By your own bad decisions, you place yourself under divine discipline. By your own bad decisions, you place yourself under divine discipline. Six. God may keep you alive a long time under divine discipline. God may keep you alive a long time under divine discipline for two reasons. One, to be used for testing other believers. And two, to receive the maximum administration of divine discipline, all the way through warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline, the sin unto death. 7, since there is no discipline in eternity for the believer, all discipline must be administered in time. Since there's no discipline in eternity for believers, all discipline must be administered in time. So verses 10 and 11, again, if anyone comes to you and does not teach this sound doctrine, do not receive him into your local church, and never welcome him. For the one who welcomes him participates in his evil deeds. Verses 10 and 11. All right. Now that brings us to the epilogue. Verses 12 and 13. Verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, The present active participle of echo plus the accusative neuter plural of polus plus the present active infinitive of grapho plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su. Now echo, looks like this, E-C-H, long O, echo. And literally echo means to have and to hold and to possess. Again, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek Lexicon, page 333 and 334, tells us that echo can also mean, one, to have the possibility to do something. To have the possibility to do something. Two, I can do something. Three, to be able to do something. Four, to be in a position to do something. Arndt and Gingrich, page 333 and 334. The participle of echo is a circumstantial concessive participle, and the concessive participle is correctly translated though having polus, having many things to write to you. Polus is many things, grapho is the verb to write. Though having many things to write to you, and then the dative plural of the personal pronoun su is the dative of indirect object to you, the ones in whose interest and benefit the writing of these many doctrines is for. So the corrected translation, though having many doctrines to write to you, many doctrines for your interest and for your spiritual benefit. And then the King James says, I would not write with paper and ink. This is the aorist middle indicative of bulimai, with the objective negative uk plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive singular of kartes plus the conjunction kai with the genitive singular of melas. Bulimai. Bula bula, bula bula. B-O-U-L-O-M-A-I. Bulimai. Bulimai means to wish, to want, to desire. Bulimai describes decisions of the will after serious concentration and mental deliberation. With the objective negative uk, it means I do not wish to do so. I do not wish to write. And then the preposition dia plus the genitive, by means of or through or with two things. Kartes melos. C-H-A-R-T long E-S, kartes. Well, then the ancient world was papyrus, paper. And then melos, M-E-L-A-S, literally it means black, and that's ink. So corrected translation, though having many doctrines to write to you for your interest and your spiritual benefit, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink. Though having many doctrines to write to you for your interest and your spiritual benefit, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you. This is the conjunction Allah plus the present active indicative of Elpidzo plus the aorist middle infinitive of genomai, plus the prepositional phrase pros, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun su. All right, well, you know this. Allah is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. Very good. Strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, it correctly translated, but, and it sets up a contrast between one writing these doctrines with teaching these doctrines in person. Contrast between writing these doctrines with teaching these doctrines in person. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between non-face-to-face teaching with face-to-face teaching. And then we have Elpidio. E-L-P-I-Z, long O, Elpidio. And this is where we get the noun elpis, hope. It means to hope for. Figuratively, elpidio means to expect, to foresee, to anticipate. And here's the principle. The Apostle John anticipates coming to Laodicea. Now, his church is in Ephesus. But the Apostle John anticipates coming to Laodicea for a Bible conference. He's going to come to the house church in Nympha's home. The church in Laodicea meets in Nympha's home. It's a house church. So the Apostle John anticipates coming to Laodicea for a Bible conference. And then we have genomai. G-I-N-O-M-A-I. Genomai. And genomai can mean to become, to originate. It can also mean to be made, to be created. It can also mean to become something that you were not before. And it can also mean a change of location, which is how it's used in our verse. And it's correctly translated to come. And with pros plus the accusative of the personal pronoun su, coming to you, though having many doctrines to write to you for your interest and spiritual benefit, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I anticipate coming to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. Face to face. How about that? Second John. We have the conjunction chi plus the aorist active infinitive of laleo plus the noun stoma with the preposition pros plus stoma repeated plus the noun kara with the definite article with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su plus the conjunction hina with the perfect passive participle of plerao with the subjunctive of the to be verb eimi. Now the conjunction chi is connective chi, you translated and. And then we have laleo. L-A-L-E long O, laleo. This is what pastors and communicators of the Word of God, this is how they love to teach the Word of God, and most of the time this is how the word that describes it. So one, literally, laleo simply means to speak. Literally. Two, laleo is one of the main verbs for communication of the Word of God. One of the main verbs for communication of the Word of God. Three, therefore it means to teach, to proclaim, to assert. To teach, to proclaim, to assert. 4. The Apostle John is looking forward to teach them stoma pro stoma. S-T-O-M-A-P-R-O-S-S-T-O-M-A. Stoma pro stoma. So the Apostle John is looking forward to teach them stoma pro stoma. 5. Stoma is the Greek word for mouth. Literally, point 6, literally this says mouth to mouth. Looking forward to teaching you mouth to mouth. 7. This is an idiom that means face to face. Face to face. And then kara, we had this last night. C-H-A-R-A. Kara. We had this last night. Superabundance of happiness. The Macedonian believers. Winter believers. Spiritually mature believers. They went all the way to maturity, qualified for the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. They went under tremendous persecution, just like the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul had great undeserved suffering for blessing. So did those believers in Macedonia, because they were winner believers. And they had great undeserved suffering for blessing. And that undeserved suffering for blessing resulted in them having deep poverty. Bathos. Patokia. Deep poverty. They were in deep poverty. But they had a soul with superabundance of happiness, superabundance of happiness. And that motivated them. They saw the grace of God for them right from the get-go. They saw the whole establishment of the grace pipeline and all the grace blessings that have come down to it. And they are motivated to give graciously and generously, even from their deep bathos, patokeia, deep poverty, but great superabundance of happiness motivated them to give graciously and generously to Paul and his team and to destitute believers in Jerusalem. And they had no, they wanted to. They, it was their motivation. They had the greatest willingness. This came from their free will. Nothing was going to stop them. They sent gifts to the Apostle Paul again and again and again. They sent these gifts to the Apostle Paul. And they took an offering and sent gifts to Jerusalem, to the believers there. And they did that with a heart full of superabundance of happiness, even though they were in deep poverty. They weren't concerned. They were the products of the grace of God, and they had seen the grace of God provide for them again and again and again and again. And they knew if God treated them and blessed them in grace, they want to give to others in grace, in generosity. They are not worried about a damn thing. They know God will resupply. And He always did. The thing is, God resupplies with more than you gave. When you give in grace, when it's grace giving, God resupplies more than you ever had before. You don't lose anything. You have more. And the believers in Macedonia saw that. They're winner believers, not loser believers. And the Corinthian believers, they haven't got a clue as to... They have multitudes of money. They're full of loot. filthy lucre. They have it upstairs, downstairs. They have four or five cars, maybe seven or eight cars. They have a home with, well, you name it, all kinds of things. They prosperity, prosperity. They own more casinos than Las Vegas has. And they haven't got a clue as to what grace giving is. But the Macedonian believers, yeah, they do. And they didn't, they gave because they wanted to. They gave because they totally understood the grace of God and how grace, how God operates by grace, grace, grace. And God wants to bless us with grace, grace, grace. And when you ever, if you ever orient to grace and realize God is everything and you are nothing, if you ever realize that, you will just start to move out. That's where you start. God is everything and you are nothing. When you realize that, now God will pour blessing and blessing and blessing. And when you give in grace, grace giving is generous and gracious. God resupplies more than you ever had before. We have two chapters on grace giving. We barely got into the second verse. But that was last night. I got all excited last night. Now we have kara again. And kara literally means joy. Kara is state of happiness. It's plus H. The question is, though, in this verse, is this our state of happiness or is it your state of happiness? That's the question. Do we have the personal pronoun ego, our happiness, or do we have the personal pronoun Sue, your happiness? Well, the best manuscripts, textual criticism. Another reason why you go to seminary, to not only learn Greek and Hebrew, but textual criticism. The best manuscripts, Alexandrinus and Vaticanus, and the Queen of the Cursives, 33, they all have humon. Your happiness. So hina plus the subjunctive introduces a purpose clause for the purpose of your happiness. And then we have the powerful periphrastic participle. Well, and that powerful periphrastic participle, peplerōmene eta. The perfect passive participle of plerao plus the subjunctive of the to-be verb eimi. Well, this periphrastic participle, you got to come back next week for this. And somebody needs to give Frances a shot of whiskey over there, and she'll be all set. Then this place will be vacuumed better than it's ever been vacuumed before, right? Their heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your magnificent grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.